This is the voice of truth, the voice of God's inerrant, absolute, eternal, unbroken, verbally inspired word. The voice of truth is coming to you from the Metropolitan Tabernacle of the First Baptist Church of Algiers. We're located at 501 Opelousas Avenue here in Old Algiers, New Orleans. This is Pastor Albert Pendora speaking, inviting you to stay tuned now to hear God's message by our late pastor, L.R. Shelton Sr., on this subject, the Sinner's Parade. Yes, that's the Sinner's Parade, and this is number 179 in this series.
Two young men were seated together in the early morning train. "Monday," said one with a little laugh, "and I'm more tired than I was on Saturday night. I drove down to the shore yesterday in my new car. Never again for me." "Have trouble?" the other asked. "No. But you know what the road is like on Sunday? I'd seen the cars going through our town, but I never realized that at the height of the homecoming traffic, there was a line of cars almost end to end, mile after mile from the city, by the sea all the way across the state. The Sinner's Parade, someone in the car that stood near my own called it, jeeringly. Do you know that phrase stuck in my mind? But of course they were not all sinners. No doubt some were preachers, church workers, and doctors on their various errands. Let's be charitable. But I cannot get away from the thought of the noise, the dust, the unsabbath-like gaiety and whirliness of the crowds, the many disabled cars, and one accident when several persons were seriously injured. And that phrase, Sinner's Parade, I was in it, and with no good excuse, no worthy object, I'll never be in it again. As I read that story, the thought came to me, the Sinner's Parade. That thought stuck in my mind. And so our subject today, under the general theme, practical Christian living, is the Sinner's Parade. It may sound at first like a misnomer, because I want to focus your attention upon the great truth of the believer and the Sabbath. But when we see the great streams of living humanity pouring out of and back into our cities and towns on the Lord's Day, and the vast majority of them are members of our churches, we are prone to think that the young man was right when he said, this is the Sinner's Parade. History tells us so plainly that every nation can look back to the beginning of its downfall when her people forgot God. And one of the evidences they have forgotten Him is their ignoring the Lord's Day, the day of rest and worship, and turning to pleasures and sports of every description. In looking at the Christian Sabbath, or the Lord's Day, we do not want to consider it from a doctrinal viewpoint, but from a practical viewpoint. And let me begin by asking you this question. Friend, what is your evaluation of the Christian Sabbath? How do you spend your time on the Lord's Day? Let's turn to the Word of God and read this story as found in Mark 2:23. "And it came to pass that he went through the cornfields on the Sabbath day, and his disciples began, as they were, to pluck the ears of corn. And the Pharisees said unto him, Behold, why do they on the Sabbath day that which is not lawful? And he said unto them, Have ye never read what David did when he had need and was in hunger, he and they that were with him? How he went in the house of God in the days of Abiathar the high priest, and did eat the showbread, which is not lawful to eat, but for the priest, and gave also to them which were with him. And he said unto them, now you get these words, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. I want to call your attention first to the expression, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. When the Lord God had finished the creation, as given in the first chapter of Genesis, the second chapter of Genesis opens with these words, And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he'd made, and he rested on the seventh from his work which he'd made. So we see that the Sabbath was made for man. The word man here includes the whole human race. The Sabbath was made for every individual, whether saved or lost, whether an infidel or a believer, whether a member of the church or not a member of the church. Let's never get away from this one fact, that the Sabbath was made for the entire human race, regardless of race or color or creed. Therefore, every individual who is born into this world is under, get it now, obligation to recognize that the Lord God of heaven set apart the Sabbath one day a week for the entire human race. Now, did you get that statement? Then let me call your attention to this expression in Mark 2:28. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. Now, here's a truth let's face. It is an eternal fact that Christ Jesus is Lord of every individual. You may be an atheist, but he is your Lord. You may be an infidel, but he is your Lord. You may be a Unitarian, but he is your Lord. You may be a rank unbeliever living in the depths of sin, but the Lord Jesus Christ is your Lord. The greatest truth that an individual can learn or come to the knowledge of is that Jesus Christ is his living Lord. He is your Lord, whether you ever recognize it or not in this life. If you do not recognize him and acknowledge him as your Lord in this life, you will in the life to come at the great white throne judgment. Listen to God's word. Listen. Listen, friend. Hold your seat and listen to God's word. Listen. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, listen, listen, every knee should bow of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, hell, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So you see here that every knee, whether in heaven or earth or hell, will bow under Jesus and confess him as Lord. You'll confess him as your Lord, that he is Lord. My friend, you will do it. whether in this life or the life to come. I want to drive that truth home to your heart before I call your attention to this statement. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. When an individual recognizes and acknowledges and confesses the fact that Jesus is your Lord, then you will recognize that He is also the Lord of the Sabbath. That's the reason I made the statement in the beginning, that every nation, when they forget God, begins to desecrate and turn the Sabbath day in pleasure and sports, which is an evidence of open rebellion against the Lord Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ becomes your Lord experimentally, get it now? When Jesus Christ becomes your Lord experimentally, when you bow unto Him and crown Him Lord, you will observe the Christian Sabbath or the Lord's Day under His leadership according to His Word. No longer will the Lord's Day be a day that you can use according to your will and your pleasure, but it will be a day that you will spend based upon the great eternal fact that Christ is your Lord, and He is Lord of the Sabbath, and you will follow Him according to His Word as your risen Lord Jesus. Now, you can take two extreme views of the Sabbath day. One is the Pharisaic view, which puts you under law, and you will observe the Christian Sabbath from a ritualistic viewpoint, which will slowly but surely mold your life into a cold form of ritualistic observance of the Sabbath, wherein is no joy, and you never once think or consider or acknowledge Christ Jesus as your living Lord. As a result, you'll become critical of every individual who does not observe the Sabbath as you do. Christ clashes you then as a Pharisee and turns to you and say, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. The other extreme view you can take of the Christian Sabbath is that I'm saved. Therefore, it makes no difference how I observe the day. I can spend it out yonder on the seashore under the guise that I can relax out there, or you'll spend it in some sports arena, or pass the day in feasting and unholy living. This is the view that multitudes of our church members take today in regard to the Christian Sabbath, which shows that they have never acknowledged Christ as their Lord. Now, in light of the great eternal fact that Jesus Christ is Lord of the Sabbath, let's notice what the word Sabbath means and why the Sabbath was made for man. Looking at it from just a practical viewpoint, the word Sabbath literally means rest. 6 days of labor have gone by, and the Lord God says, I have made the Sabbath, the seventh day, a day of rest. Since Christ is Lord of the Sabbath, and since Christ arose on the eighth day, or the first day of the week, and since the Holy Spirit came on the eighth day, or the first day of the week, to fill the new church that Christ had organized, and since the number eight signifies the beginning of new things, the believers begin together on that eighth day for worship. So the Christian Sabbath, the eighth day, took on a new meaning. Not only a day of rest, but a day of worship. So today, without any argument, the eighth day has come to be the Christian Sabbath, the day of rest. and the day of worship. And Jesus Christ is Lord of it. He governs it and each one of our lives. Is that fair? Is to me. Let's first look at it from the viewpoint of a day of rest. The Lord God of heaven knew that man would need one day out of seven as a day when he should turn aside from all physical labor and as far as possible and spend that time resting, which means to stop from active duty and get quiet. And as the psalmist says, to get silent or become silent before the Lord. Jesus Christ being the Lord of the Sabbath, it's a time when we are to turn away from our vocations of life and rest in quietness before Him, paying homage unto Him, acknowledging Him as our Lord and our Redeemer, as well as our Creator. The human body was so made by the Lord God of heaven that it requires a stated time of rest. The Lord God knew that, and that's the reason He made the Sabbath, or set aside the one day out of seven for man to rest his body and mind from his labors. He said, 6 days thou shalt labor, but on the seventh day thou shalt rest. He not only provided a time of rest for man, but for all of his creatures, and also for the earth. He gave orders that 6 years thou shalt cultivate the land, but on the seventh year the land was to rest. This He called the sabbatical year. Why? Because He's Lord of the Sabbath. I know our industries are so organized today that it requires many to work on the Lord's day to keep the industries rolling. But my friend, I do believe with all my heart that if the human race would acknowledge Jesus as Lord of the Sabbath, that our industries could be so organized to cut down to the minimum of the individuals who would have to work on the Lord's day, and then provision be made for that individual to have one day out of seven to rest. 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 You cannot separate the two thoughts of the Christian Sabbath. Rest and worship. Christ being Lord of the Sabbath, we have got to recognize Him as Lord. To recognize Him as Lord means that we fall at His feet and worship Him. It means to sit at His feet as Mary did and learn from Him. Therefore, He has set aside one day out of seven when we should lay aside everything and turn to Him and sit at His feet worshiping and learning from Him. What is more restful than to give oneself in worship of the Lord God of heaven? Let me ask you a question. Do you look forward to the Lord's day as a day of rest and worship? Or do you look forward to that day as one of pleasure, or traveling, or sports, or worldliness, or visiting? What is your concept of the Lord's day? Let me say again with all the emphasis of my heart, if you will recognize and acknowledge and confess in your heart Jesus as Lord, then your whole view and concept of the Lord's day will be changed. When we recognize and acknowledge and confess Jesus as Lord of the Sabbath, who is Lord of our hearts and lives, there are some things that we won't do as a rule. First, you will not spend your Saturday nights in sports or pleasures or visiting or anything that will tire your body, which will make you unfit to worship on the Lord's day. I know in every individual's life, things will come up over which you have no control, which will keep you late on Saturday nights. But I'm talking about the general rule of your life. It's been the rule of my life for many a year never to accept an appointment or anything on Saturday night that would keep me out late, because I'm looking forward to the Lord's day with great anticipation of meeting my Lord in special worship. But how many, just as soon as they're released from their daily toil, leave home for this place or that place with no idea of being in the Lord's house Sunday morning, hungering, longing for a blessing from thy risen Lord? How many will stay up late on Saturday nights and come dragging in the house of the Lord on Sunday morning, tired and sleepy, with no thought of receiving a blessing from the presence of the Lord? Or how many will lay up in bed and while away the Lord's day without worship? Another thing that we should not do on the Lord's day is to absent ourselves from the Lord's house. The psalmist said, I was glad when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. Christ said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The word of God says, forsake not to assemble yourselves together, which means wherever we come together on the Lord's day, whether in our homes or in the house of the Lord, let's come together for worship around our Lord Jesus Christ. He said again, if two or three gather together in my name, I will be in the midst of you. Christ is Lord of the Sabbath, commands us as our Lord, together for worship, saint or sinner. Or do you join the sinner's parade on Sunday morning? My friend, which one? From earliest childhood, I have never known what it was to be absent from the house of the Lord, unless providentially hindered. I'll never forget my boyhood days when I used to walk with my grandfather or ride in the old covered wagon with my family going to the house of the Lord for worship. It never once crossed my mind to while away my Sunday mornings in play or otherwise. I always thought of being in the house of the Lord for worship. How do you spend your Sundays? Do you make preparations all through the week with one expectation, that I'll be in the house of the Lord Sunday morning worshiping? Father, do you plan to be there? Do you plan to take your family with you? Listen to these words. I found this little poem. A little girl with shining eyes, her little face aglow, said, Daddy, it's almost time for Bible school. Let's go. They teach us there of Jesus' love and how he died for sinners upon the cruel cross to save those who on him will call. Oh, no, said Daddy, not today. I've worked hard all this week, and I must have one day of rest. I'm going to the creek, for there I can relax and rest, and fishing's fine, they say. So run along, don't bother me. We'll go to church someday. Months and years passed away, but Daddy hears that plea no more. Let's go to Bible school. Those childhood days are o'er. And now that Daddy's growing old, when life is almost through, he finds the time to go to church. But what does his daughter do? She says, oh, Daddy, not today. I stayed up most all night, and I've just got to have some sleep. Besides, I look a fright. Then Daddy lifts a trembling hand to brush away his tears. Again he hears the pleading voice distinctly through the years. He sees a small girl's shining face upturned, with eyes aglow as she says, it's time for Bible school. Please, Daddy, won't you go? But now it's too late. My friends, how many of us would like to salvage the wrecks of time that you have made by your neglect of worship on the Sabbath day? But you can't You can't retrain it. Those wrecks of times, you can't reclaim them. While raising my family, never one time was I guilty of asking my children, my wife, did they want to go to services? They knew they were going. They knew they were going. Preparation began to be made on Monday morning for our going to services next Sunday. Let me ask you this question. How do you spend your Sunday afternoons? My friend, do you join the sinner's parade? How many, just as soon as the noonday service is over, drive many, many miles and return home after dark, tired and worn out? That's no way to spend the Lord's day. Your afternoons and nights should be just as sacred as the morning hours. Take time for meditation, for prayer, for Bible reading, for fellowship with the risen Lord, so you can return to the house of the Lord on Sunday nights for a season of public worship. This is just practical Christian living. Then your heart and mind is refreshed and your body more rested to return back your daily toil on Monday morning. Remember, Jesus Christ is the Lord of the Sabbath. He's your Lord. And let's not forget to worship Him on His day, the day of His resurrection, because we're looking forward to that great rest for the people of God when He returns for His own. How are we spending the Lord's day?
This brings to the close another broadcast. We want to thank you for your letters and gifts that keep these messages going out over the Voice of Truth program each week. Again, the title of the message was The Sinner's Parade. And this is number 179. You can order it simply by number or by title. And you may have a free printed copy simply by requesting it. All of Pastor Shelton's messages preached on this broadcast are also available on cassette tape for $3 each. These tapes are the full hour, including the singing of our choir and the letter reading by Miss Wallene, and they are available for $3 postpaid. Also, I'd like to mention that we're now broadcasting over the Internet from our local station here in New Orleans. The call letters, the Internet station letters, are www.wlno.com. We are live on Sunday morning from 10 till 11 with the Bible school, and then 11 to 12 with the worship hour. Many of our friends, our folks, are calling us, writing us from all over the country, telling us they're hearing us. Also, you can hear the Trailblazer broadcast from 8:45 Monday through Friday Central Standard Time there on the same Internet station. Let me remind you of our Fall Fellowship Day. It's the last Sunday in October. That's not very far off, is it? No, so get your reservations in now with your airplane ticket. Call us, let us know, or write us, let us know if you're coming, so we can begin to make plans for you. And we appreciate the opportunity just to sit here and to bring you this old-time, old-fashioned message by late Pastor Shelton. And I'm asking you folks to continue to pray for us. Pray for me here as we lead this gracious work of radio missions. Let us know if the messages mean anything to you. It's a joy for you to tell us what the messages mean to you. If you will, tell us what station you're listening to. We're trying to make a survey now to see what stations folks are listening to, so that we may have to take some of the stations off the air. We don't want to do it if we can help it. Our mailing address is Radio Missions, Post Office Box 6250, New Orleans, Louisiana 70174. It's always a joy to be with you. Yes, it's a joy to tell folks what the Lord has done for us here at Radio Missions, how He's kept the broadcast on the air now for many, many, many years, under the leadership of the late Pastor Shelton, and then on down, even till today. And this is Pastor Albert Pendarvis speaking, but let me remind you that we're here every week at the same time, same station. May the Lord's richest blessings rest upon you. This is the Voice of Truth broadcast.